Okay, so options. What I'm going to talk about here is nothing new. This is a little similar to Info, a thing that we've been aware of for a long time. We discuss it every now and then. We haven't really done anything. The reason I'm bringing it up again is because I've been approached by both product people writing test specification, and also people in other SDOs asking for a clarification about this. So I'm going to talk about the problems we identified. Everything here is based on email list discussions, and then we decide whether we're going to do something or not. The way this is different from Info is that most likely, if we decide to move forward writing a document, most likely, as I will say in the end, it would be a BCP only or some kind of clarification. That, of course, depends on which solution we agree on, but it's not going to be as for Info that we have to start, you know, doing it something new, so to say. So next slide, please. This is just first the problems and then the solutions we discussed, and then, you know, the way forward. Next one. So there are actually two things that we've been discussed. The first thing is that the procedures for options as such are unclear in 3.2.6.1. The other problem, which I will come to after this, is relating to forking. The issue is that, you know, you only get 1/200 okay, even though you would like to get the capabilities of all user agent servers behind a forking proxy. But let's start with this. So unclear procedure. Next one, please. So the first one is, and again, this is what we discussed on the list, and is that 3.2.6.1 states that the response code is supposed to be the same as it would for an invite. I mean, the response code to an options. And it's a little unclear what this means. So the question is, that does this mean that the options request should be rejected if the UAS is currently in a call and receives these options? And I think based on the list discussion, no, this is not really the case. The proposal is that when you return, when you receive an options, you will, you know, treat it in a generic way. You know, if it's okay, you return whatever you would return, no matter if you have an ongoing call or not, because you're really querying the capabilities, not, you know, what can you do at, you know, what are you doing now. So this is the proposal that seems to be an agreed on the list, or is there someone having another opinion?
John Owell. I think before we discuss proposals for individual problems, we probably should have a more general discussion. Do we really want to put effort into solving a multiplicity of problems with the options method? Or is it something that we want to maybe just deprecate, not the whole method, but, you know, restrict its usage to well-defined, simple use cases where there isn't much fixing to do? Now, it's a useful method for doing a ping, are you here, to make sure you're talking to another SIP entity. But beyond that, do we really want to try to get too much out of it, given that there are other methods such as presence and caller preferences and that can, user agent capabilities that can do some of the functions you might do with options?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, maybe to answer that, do we really want to take on this? Maybe we should go through the problems first and see what the problems are. And regarding your second question, I mean, people have been asking for a clarification, and I think that, you know, if it's allowed to use options, we should, you know, respond to that clarification. Of course, if we think that, no, don't use options in the first place, I mean, that's, of course, one thing. But the assumption here is that we're going to keep options, and it's going to be a usable tool.
This is Joe Hildebrand. I have a suggestion of a way to move forward that is not the current approach for options and is likely to not be apparent exactly how it's going to map into the problem that options is trying to solve to begin with for some people, and I apologize for that in advance. We've got a standard in the XMPP community for sending around lists of features, where feature sort of more or less corresponds to the sorts of things that you would put in options today. We describe each one of those features with a URI so that they can be easily extended and added later on. There are a bunch of them that have been standardized either in the core or in extensions to XMPP that have been done in Nestio one or another. Then we have a way of compressing those and sending them around as a part of presence. And the compression is really quite good, so that amount of traffic that's associated with that, it can spread around quite nicely. I put a link in the Jabber chat room for the standard I'm talking about. It's XEP115, and it's an interesting input. If you do go down that path, I would like to see if we can't liaise between this group and the XMPP group to ensure that we could try to get towards some kind of interoperability, which I believe is possible. So just that's a sort of food for thought kind of thing.
No, I think that's a good point. And if we decide to move forward, I mean, doing something, I guess that's something we should consider. Yeah.
This is Adam Roach from the floor. I want to start out by saying that I agree with John Elwell that we probably want to have a bit more of a meta conversation about this before we really dive too deep into the specific issues. That said, on this one in particular, there are some bugaboos here that you have to think about very carefully. For example, if the thing at the other end is, say, a PSTN gateway with a limited number of DSPs, it can do a certain number of, you know, G729 channels and a whole lot more G711 channels. When you're talking about the SDP you're returning here, are you going to indicate, well, right now I'm in a call so I can't do 729 with you even if that's what you've offered? Or are we going to say we're going to pretend the entire gateway is at idle? It's not as clear as just this, you know, yes or no on the response code. There are other aspects of options that are variant depending upon call state, and we would need to go down probably every one of those little rabbit holes to make sure that we got all of our T's crossed and I's dotted if we're going to tackle this problem.
Sure. I mean, that's what I meant. Is it more, are you responding based on your current situation at this very moment, which means, for example, if you don't have any DSPs, you say you can't do anything, or is it more general, okay, I have this many DSPs, it's not sure I can use them all now, but this is what I generically have. But I think that is really... We would need to have some guidance about that because this is something, for example, that both, I think, implementers and test specification people are asking for. And if we think that, you know, we can't really give a good answer, fine, that's the outcome. But I think it would be good to have something. But, I mean, we can continue, and I can show these issues, and maybe it's then easier to make decisions whether we should work with this or not because, you know, we don't have to solve these issues here and now. I think the important thing for this meeting is do we want to work on this in the first place? So the next one, please. Okay, so this is another one. If you receive an options request and with a two tag, meaning, okay, this is supposed to belong to an ongoing dialogue, but the receiver doesn't really have any dialogue states, it seems that the procedures allow you could send a 481, you know, there's no call, or you could send a 200 response, you know, just treating this as an auto dialogue request. And I think there's even text 3261 that says, you know, you don't have a dialogue, but this option is actually going to recreate the dialogue, you know, and I think there's going to be a lot of problems with that associated. But in any way, so the question is that, you know, do we need to, you know, allow all those things, or should we try to recommend a more clear, consistent behavior? And again, based on the email discussion, it seems like most people think that this should be treated as an, you know, SIP request in general. If you get an out-of-dialogue request, you don't have a dialogue, you're going to send a 481, that we shouldn't have specific, you know, options procedures.
Keith Drage. If you send a 481, as far as I see, you're basically rejecting the options request and therefore just treating it as another method. Therefore, you're not conveying information that the options request specifically requested.
That is true, but keep in mind that here you're...
You know, to a certain extent, I think you've got flexibility here. If you want to actually say, you know, in regard to the options request, I am specifically responding to the options request, I guess you've got, you know, if you feel you're allowed to, you can send the 200.
That is
in the previous example.
That is true, but we also, if we go lower down, I mean, the first thing a stack is doing when it's receiving a request is, you know, looking for an ongoing dialogue. It takes the two tag. Keep in mind, this is the case where you have a two tag.
Yeah.
What
I'm trying to offer here is something a bit more general. If you want to respond to the options and it's legal at that point, then send the 200. If you just want to deny the request, then basically you can send anything you like, but basically you're just treating it like any other request and you're not formally responding to the options at that point.
So can I ask what is your, assuming that you would send a 200 OK
no,
to,
I'd
in this
four,
case?
I'd send a 481 here because it's not legal, but on the previous slide, for example, if I want to respond to the options, I'd send a 200. If I felt that I didn't want to respond to the options at all, I'd send whatever I liked.
To reinforce what Keith was saying, he was not saying that it was not okay to send a 481 on this slide. He was talking about the marginal case.
So,
in terms of if this turns into text, I think that the text here is that, you know, you do what 3261 says to do with not a dialogue request that has a two tag. There's nothing special about options here.
So, Adam Roach, go ahead, but I'd like to go ahead and change our direction just a little bit after this one comment.
Okay. Brett Tate, let's see, as far as returning the 41 or the 200, one reason to go ahead and keep it somewhat unclear is the fact that if you start requiring the 41 to be returned, people are going to start using this to basically check invite dialogue usage, see whether it's still up, doing it for subscriptions to see if it's up, and try to use that as a mechanism.
I could do that with a work request.
Correct.
Nothing special about options for that.
Correct. But people are trying to, I guess, mix that such that a 41 to an options, which officially has no usage, can somehow terminate all the other usages potentially associated with that dialogue.
I think his point was to be careful with 5057 implications.
Okay, so I'd like to go ahead and refocus our energies a little bit. We have another 10 slides, probably about as many problems to look through. And the real discussion I think we need to be having isn't how do we specifically go through these as much as the meta conversation about whether we want to tackle this effort at all. So what I'd like to be able to do is kind of have, we're not going to really go too much about the actual proposals as much as the problems and kind of the questions associated with them. And I'd like to get through those pretty quickly so that we can have a relatively good conversation at the end about whether this is a reasonable chunk of work for the group to even take on before we actually start doing the work here in the room.
I agree, yeah. So next one, please. So again, I'll just, you know, present this then. And the other one is also that regarding RFC 3848, is that a request can be rejected, you know, also by a user agent server, you know, due to this feature tag mismatch. And the question is, does this also apply to options? I guess we can add a question here, or I mean, should I still be allowed to send a 200 because what it's doing is querying for capabilities? Again, I will skip the proposal here. I mean, this is the proposal that has been on the list, but we don't need to discuss this here. But just the previous one, please. But there's also then, you know, a second question is that also that do we need to look into other headers? For example, what if the options request contains a require header? You know, should I look at that also, or should I assume the require is just what the UAC is, a way for him to indicate the option tags that he supports and so on? So that's something that needs to be clarified. And I think this is actually, in my opinion, one of the more important ones based on the feedback I received, but we can go on. So these were the, you know, the problems related to understanding what 3261 and maybe some other RFCs 3841 is saying. But then there's this forking problem, which is that, you know, as for other requests, you send an options request and you're only going to get one 200 back, even though you'd like to you know, get the capabilities of all user agent servers behind the forking proxy. And this was raised, this came from some people working in other SDOs. They had some use cases basically that they would like to know about all capabilities, because then the invite they're sending would maybe look different depending on these capabilities. I don't have the use case here in the slides, but I did send out something high level on the list a while ago, so you can look for it there. So there were a different number of solutions presented on the list. The only one I'm going to talk about here is the one that most people or those people who commented seem to think is the best way forward. Next one, please. Sorry, go on up one up, please. There was, Yeah, there was a claim also that we, just a side note, that the request is position no cancel would make all 200 okay responses to be forwarded to the user agent client, and you don't have a problem. But I don't think, you know, there were no agreement on the list for that. So.
Well, the chairs, forgive me. That's completely outside of what the specs say. That's just totally
no. I'm just trying to be fair to everyone who has been involved in this discussion. So
Colin, is an individual. No, I don't think there was no agreement. I think there was pretty strong agreement that everyone thought that was a bad idea. So I may be wrong on that, but that's what it was.
That's what I meant. Yeah, sure. Next one, please. Okay, so the solution, which was I think it was presented by Dean. Was this options 3xx, which means that the forking proxy returns a 3xx response, most likely 302, which contains contacts representing the user agent servers behind this forking proxy or associated with the AOR to which the options is addressed. And then the user agent servers can use those contacts and contact each user agent server individually to query for the capabilities. In that way, the user agent client can, you know, if it wants, query each and every user agent server and request for these capabilities. So the next one, please. So there's been some question related to that also. The first one was, how does the proxy make a decision whether to return a 3xx response or fork the request? There was in this discussion, should it always do it or should it be possible to choose? And the proposal was, I think this came from Paul, well, no, we can use the request disposition redirect feature tag, which is really what this is about, indicating please redirect this or just go on forking. And then one thing we need to discuss then, again, I don't want to spend time on that here, is that if there is no request disposition header, what is the default value? I don't think 3841 says anything about that, but I assume it would be, you know, that it's going to proxy, because I would assume that that's what most existing implementation would do. The question is, do we then need to clarify 3841 regarding this? There's no default value, but I don't want to discuss that here. Next one, please. The other one is that, which also was read, now if there are proxies returning these contact addresses, those can be GRUs or those can be IP addresses or whatever that the user agent service has registered, should the proxy return those? Some people say there could be some, you know, issues with that. You don't really want to return all this. Or should the proxy, in which case should the proxy, you know, create some kind of, I don't know, temporary GRU or whatever contact which actually hides the actual contact, and then when the request comes again, it would replace it or somehow forward it to the UAC, so the proxy would know what this means. There were some different opinions about it. I think the proposal was, no, we shouldn't mandate anything like this. This is going to be a policy decision. The forking proxy can return the contacts or it can return something else. So then the next one, please, is also regarding, again, feature tags. Normally, when you do forking, you can use accept contact to indicate to which user agent servers a request should be forked based on the registered feature tags. So in this case, if the options request contains feature tags, accept contact, and the forking proxy is sending a 3xx, should it, you know, then only send the contacts of those user agent servers which matches these capabilities, in the same way as it would only fork the request to those user agent servers. And the proposal is, yes, we should do that. Okay. And I think those were the issues. Then we have the next slide, which is basically the way forward then.
All right. I'd actually like to cast it a little differently than that, because you have some very specific options, and I'd like to throw out as a more general question. In terms of whether this is the working group, something the working group thinks we need to address, whether there's a real problem here that is worth investing our time and effort into finding solutions for and getting them right, or if this is an okay situation to leave it as it is.
Well, that's the next slide, really, asking the way forward now. I mean, these were all the problems I had. So.
Yes.
Uh, And again, sorry for saying, I think you should go to the next slide, because I think it's one important thing here is that, of course, the alternative one is, you know, we do nothing, you know, everything is clear, or, you know, everything is unclear, but we don't care. But I think the alternative too, if we choose to do something, based on the discussion so far, I don't think we need to, you know, update 3.2.6.1 or anything like that. In my opinion, as it seems now, the only thing we would do is, you know, is some kind of clarification, only clarify the existing procedures. You know, why I think this is, would be much easier than info, for example. So, you know, a BCP or something like that. Just to...
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. This is more specific than I think we need to answer right now. I think we need to break it down to the broader categories of do nothing or do something. I don't think do nothing is predicated on everything being clear. I think do nothing would be predicated on the problems are not commensurate with the level of effort that would be required to fix them versus produce something, which could be a BCP. It actually could be an updating document. I don't think we need to jump all the way to what this looks like to this level, which is why I was trying to cast it more broadly.
I mean, I think, for example, for the forking problem, I mean, no matter if we do nothing or if we decide to clarify it, it is allowed. So you can go on doing that. I think that the question is more if we want to clarify something or if it's clear, it's regarding the unclear text in 3.2.6.1. But please.
John Howell, I don't have enough evidence to know whether I could definitely go for alternative one. So I'm undecided between alternative one and alternative two. But for alternative two, I would, if we were to adopt alternative two, I would suggest it be along the lines of keeping it simple, not trying to do anything too clever with options, maybe adding guidance to as to warnings. Don't try to expect this from options because you're not going to get guarantee. We can't guarantee what sort of response you'll get, because different implementations will respond differently. So, if you go for alternative two, keep it simple and don't try to do anything too clever with options.
I totally agree. This is not going to be a new info.
So on every single one of these that went up, when I looked at them, I just thought, we will be impossible to get consensus off of anything 3.2.6.1 does. Let me take one specific example, forking, for example. The reason you design what responses you want to spend back on forking has to do with policy, whether you want to reveal the fact that you forked it and how many people you forked it to and who you forked it to, right? That's the end result and who forked it. And that's largely why forks are done at all today versus being redirects, is because people don't want to send that upstream. So we'll be in exactly the same position on every one of these. So I think there wasn't a single one that convinced me there was a compelling problem, and I would be strongly in favor of alternative one.
James Polk, I think this all depends on do enough people or enough different implementations want to do something similar to each one of the items that you suggested, each one of the problems that you covered. And if they need to do something, there needs to be an interoperable way to do it. If that bar isn't crossed, then do nothing is, I think, the right answer, because this is going to get really complicated really quickly, I think.
Well, I agree, but I think there was one example, in the problems I said earlier, it was related if you receive an options with a 2 tag, for example. I think what I was told, for example, is 3.2.6.1 could, for example, even allow the dialogue to be recreated. Of course, that would require every proxy and everything in the middle to really understand, okay, now the dialogue is recreated, or you can end up with some other problems, for example.
Well, the way I read 3.2.6.1, that's pretty clear.
Yeah, Adam Roach, if I may interject, as if I were on the floor, I think you're confusing 2543 with 3.2.6.1. That was a feature that was originally in SIP that was vigorously removed sometime around BIS 08. I mean, it's not in the current document.
Yeah, that one was pretty clear.
Okay. Good.
Hi, Hadriel Kaplan. I agree with the previous speakers. There are interoperability problems with options. None of these were the ones I've ever seen as interoperability problems. And most of these are features. I mean, the whole forking thing is a new feature somebody wants, which will be a really long time, I think, because there's all kinds of issues with doing that. And you have a whole backwards compatibility problem, which will require an options tag, which, in case you didn't know, takes 3 years. So I don't I think option one is the best, do nothing. Or if you want to produce a BCP, write a BCP, best common practice, right, of just in case you receive this thing, do this, and then we can argue about the details of the BCP. But to have us work on it is, like, just not worth it.
Robert, you're not getting to the microphone? I think that I'm not going to call for consensus on this. That's going to happen.
Can I ask one question then? Even though we would go for alternative one and do nothing regarding the forking, I mean, and the so-called options 3xx solution, even though we don't specify it in a BCP or anything, is there someone who thinks that no, this is not, for example, this is not allowed? You know, you can't do it slightly like this.
So we can reconsider that.
It's Hadriel again. I don't know about allowed, but I don't think I've ever seen a 3xx to an options, and I have no idea what a UA will do if
it gets
one.
It doesn't exist, but like I said, there is some people now who do need this. They need to get the capabilities, and they have asked for how could we do this, and then the answer to those with you could use this 3xx solution for that. I agree, it doesn't exist today as far as I know. I've never seen it.
So I would like to cut off the line at the people currently on the microphone. We have one more topic I'd like to fit into the 19 minutes that we have left.
Right. But to get, I think, the feature that you want with the options in 3xx, you do need actually some indication that says, I want this to happen, and the other guy to agree that I want that.
I proposed, or the suggestion here was that you use request disposition redirect.
Right. So my point is, though, it's not an interoperability solution problem. It's a new capability you're asking for, right? That's really what you want, right? You want some syntax in the messages to say, to do a negotiation between the two, that A wants option foo, and B will comply with option foo. And so it's not a problem. It's not an interoperability problem, right? It's a, I want this new thing to work this way. Do we want to work on it? Is that what you're asking for?
Yeah, if you want
to. It's really distinct from the other things you talked about, right?
Yeah. I mean, there are two different. Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Red tape. One of the things as far as trying to use options and trying to do the redirects and things like that associated with is the fact that you're not, it's hard to capture the plethora of services which might be involved in setting up a call. So if you're going to have sim ring to 20 different people or sequential ring to 20 different people, trying to set up to get all the different contacts involved as the call is being set up to provide any useful information back within those contacts as far as what all those individual people support and don't support and things like that. So that's why I don't think it could ever be useful in this way to capture everything that preconditions could.
Well, that of course depends on what are the capabilities that people are interested in. I'm not saying you can solve everything with this, but I mean, assuming that, you know, the thing you want to know is related to things that you would normally get in an options request, like SDP, supported feature tag, supported options tag, things like that. But of course, if there's something else which you can't address in options in the first place, then of course, for those cases, you will need something else.
Right. And I'm talking about as far as whenever invite goes out, five different people could be sequentially ringed or simultaneously ringed, and they support all sorts of different codecs that are involved. So just trying to provide any useful information such that if you actually send an invite based upon this, that you would even hit those same people. I mean, that's why I don't think it's any guarantee whatsoever it's going to be routed the same as far as the subsequent invite from this options that's going out.
Well, the different way, of course, you can't guarantee that, but I mean, if you have the gurus, you can use those, and I mean, you can use, if you have feature tags, you can use those and things like that, but of course, you know, these are things that would need to be, you know, of course, configured in the forking proxy. But, I mean, you're going to use the same AOR, so I think you could assume that that's, you know, somehow you're going to reach the same participants.
Okay. I'd like to go ahead and cut off the conversation there. We can have a conversation about whether we want to take on this work on the list, and if we decide to do that, we can have these kinds of conversations. But I think we're really jumping over that first one. We're having discussions about the fiddly bits that go inside messages. Robert?
And were you going to do any calls or anything? You said no, right?
I
you know, frankly, the Friday afternoon, I don't think we're going
to
get it.
So I just wanted to jump into something that's tangentially related, and I'm waiting for when to throw the tangent. So
is this discussion of the term BCP, or is this something else? Okay. Go ahead.
Okay, so please pardon me for taking the group down a almost rat hole, almost bike shed, whatever, but I do want to raise the level of sensitivity in the room to the continued abuse of the three-letter acronym BCP. Go read 2026. It doesn't mean what a lot of people were today throwing the acronym BCP around for in the terms of its definition inside 2026, which is vague. It has some problems, but go read it. There's going to be mounting pushback on trying to use the BCP stream the way we've been using it in the past. Most of the times, a whole lot of the documents that Rye has sent up before as BCPs before were really informational documents. Let's go ahead and label them that from the beginning.
Okay, we only have 15 minutes left, so I'm going to steer us towards the next topic here, Keith. Is this about location conveyance, or is this about options?
This is about the previous discussion. Keith Drage, I just want to ask that you do it based on an internet draft next time we have the conversation. Thank you.
Sure. It's when you look at what was discussed on the mailing list, this received volumes of mail above and beyond everything else combined. So I think that probably most people who are participating in the mailing list are at least aware of what was coming. John? I'm not presenting these.
You can take him.
So just a question on the previous thing for the minute taking. I mean, basically the conclusion is we discussed it for an hour and there was no information worth recording whatsoever, right?
We discussed it for about 25 minutes.
Okay.
And I think that we informed the people that tend to participate in these discussions. I'm not comfortable enough with how far the conversations got to actually call for consensus on a topic of whether we're taking this on, but I intend to do so on the mailing list in the next few weeks. So I would strongly encourage everyone here not to go into their post-IETF coma, where you stop reading the mailing list for a month after the meeting, because there will be important decisions. Is that satisfying, Colin?
I'll let you know in a month when I get back.
Brutal. All right. So those of you